Hear this reading from John's Gospel, the 4th chapter. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I'm he." Here ends the reading of the gospel. There are many examples of people who needed to get unstuck in the scriptures. Blind Bartimaeus, the lame man by the pool of Bethesda, the woman with the issue of blood, Zacchaeus, and the list goes on and on. Well, today we consider the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, for she also was stuck. She was stuck in many different ways. To begin with, she's stuck in a system of racism. "You're a Jew. Why are you asking me for a drink?" she said to Jesus. She knew the rules. Samaritans do not talk to Jews, and Jews do not associate with those unclean Samaritans. She was a woman, one who at that time did not enjoy an equal status in society. Women were relegated to making long and laborious trips to the well each day so that their husbands and livestock could have food and drink. Last but not least, we learn through her conversation with Jesus that she was stuck in a pattern of bad relationships. We can only guess why. But whatever it was, she kept making the same mistake over and over and over again. She had 5 husbands and was now with a 6th man who was not her husband. In other words, she was stuck in an adulterous relationship, most likely due to her circumstances being stuck in a life of poverty and needing someone to provide for her. This woman was stuck in bad patterns of living, bad patterns of choices, and bad circumstances. And Jesus knew that. Most Jews, when traveling north from Jerusalem to Galilee, skirted to the west around Samaria rather than pass through it. But Jesus intentionally went through Samaria to the town of Sychar, to Jacob's well, because he knew there was a woman who was expecting the Christ to come someday and needed to get unstuck. And he arranged for a time at the well when the other disciples were not around. It says that they were in town getting food, so he could have a private and personal conversation with her. This was no accidental meeting. This was a divine appointment. And what was the first thing Jesus said? He said, "Woman, give me a drink of water." Now let's think about this. Here this needy woman is standing face to face with the creator of the universe, the one who hung all of the stars in the sky, the one who created the oceans and the lakes. He also is the one who made water gush from the rock in the wilderness so that the Hebrew children could drink. And yet he's asking her for some water. Did Jesus need to get water from her? No. God never needs anything from us. He's all sufficient. But what he did want was something from her, even more than water. He wanted her worship. He wanted her to know who he was and what his life-saving love could do for her. He wanted her to know that he was the Messiah that she was looking for. He wanted earthly water from her so that he could in turn give her living water from heaven. God wants you to get unstuck from your situations in life. But a lot of times it works like this. We just say, "God, you're all powerful. Give me this. Give me that. Do this for me. Do that for me. Deliver me from this illness. Give me everything I need." We just want something from Him first. But here's the question. Will you give Him your worship first? Will you give Him your heart first? Will you offer Him what He asks of you? Will you give Him that drink of water? Once Jesus said to the woman, "I can give you living water so that you'll never thirst again," this woman was all over that. The woman said to Him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." In other words, "Lord, give me this water to drink so that I can get unstuck from this dreadful pattern, this heavy load that I have to deal with day in and day out in my life. Give me this living water so that I might get unstuck." You know, it's been found in some very early manuals, liturgical manuals of the church regarding baptism. And they say, if at all possible, baptize in living water. In other words, water that is always moving, like a river. Living water is moving water. Many of your fancy baptismal fonts in the big churches will have pumps in them to circulate the water, to give the impression that it's living water. It's symbolic, of course, but the point is stagnant water doesn't move. It just sits there and becomes unhealthy with bacteria growing in it and gunk accumulating over it. We see that sometimes in the ponds that we drive by around here. They're just overgrown with gunk, and they don't look like very healthy ponds at all. Churches can become stagnant and unhealthy if they just sit there and do nothing. But living water is just the opposite. Living water gives life. Living water in our country produces electricity for tens of millions of people and irrigates crops for food. Living water turned flour mills early on in our country for vital daily bread. Living water in rivers even has the power to wear down rocks. River rocks are rounded because the river has smoothed over their rough edges over time. Living water is powerful stuff because it's always on the move and can smooth over even the rough edges in your life. Things that are on the move don't get stuck. Living water keeps things moving and changes and keeps us from getting stuck. Jesus is living water, he said. He can get you unstuck from any stagnant and unhealthy situation in your life. But will you trust him? Will you offer him your worship? Will you give him that cup of water first? If you keep reading in this chapter, the woman goes on and goes back and tells everyone in the village that she has met the Messiah and he knew everything about her. She's now reinvigorated and full of that living water. She was immediately on the move. We don't know how everything turned out for her, but it was obvious from the story that she was now unstuck and transformed and full of life and wonder for Jesus. A new chapter for her had begun. God blesses people that he knows are going to pass it on. This woman passed it on. Come with me, come with me, come out to the well with me. You've got to see this guy. The Apostle Paul passed it on. He was always on the move, from town to town, telling others about Jesus. Will you pass it on? Will you allow that living water to put you on the move, to flow from your life so that others may become unstuck? Let's see what living water does for Derek and Margaret in their life. But first, Rebecca is going to lead us in prayer. I always wanted to go to a Sonic. Now I guess I have a good reason to. So the church is not a building. Building's a noun. Christianity is not a title. That's a noun. It's all a verb. It's all living water that's on the move. And that's how God wants our life to be, on the move. Full of him, full of living water, flowing out to others. Let us pray. Jesus, we are coming to the well. We're coming to the well with eager longing, deep yearning, intensity, so absolutely thirsty to be filled with your living water, to reach the depths again of who we are. And we know you are the well. You are the divine well of compassion, extravagant love and understanding that we desperately need. You are the healing water overflowing, unlimited, to shore up our weakness. You are the calm we need in the storms of our life. You are the patience, the courage to risk, the faithfulness, the wholeness, the gracious presence to others that we so deeply desire. Heal us. Give us the grace to be your healing presence, healing the hatred, the racism, the hurt, the grief, the injustice, the violence in this world. May it be so, Lord. Amen and amen.